Thank you for taking time to listen to this message from the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection. We hope you find it meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any of our four locations in the Kansas City area. You may also worship with us live online every Sunday at either 10:45 a.m. or 5 p.m. Central Time. Simply go to www.rezonline.org. Rebroadcast of the entire worship service are also online each day of the week. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
At the age of 16, Violet Fisher sensed a clear call from God's presence into the ministry to be a preacher. But sadly, in that era, due to sexism, and undoubtedly some racism, the church wasn't ready for what God was trying to do through Violet Fisher. So she sought to live into that call as best as she knew how and went into education, became an educator, and for more than two decades was a very accomplished educator, but continued to seek to live out that sense of a call to preach as best as she could. And although she couldn't preach, she would go to churches and speak. And her speaking was so powerful and compelling through God's presence that she soon found her speaking docket fuller than most preachers find their preaching docket. And it was about that time when the church came to the place of waking up to what God wanted to do, not only in her life, but in the life of many women, and began to recognize the full equality and ordination of women in the United Methodist Church. So Bishop Fisher was ordained, served effectively as a pastor, soon became a district superintendent, and then became bishop in Upper New York, serving two Episcopal areas, covering more than 800 churches from Albany all the way up to Toronto, gave great pastoral shepherding, and retired in 2008, but retirement hasn't taken. And she's continued to travel around preaching. She was our keynote preacher on Thursday night, and you are in for a powerful message from God through her. And I want you to join me in giving Bishop Violet Fisher a warm Church of the Resurrection welcome. Bishop Fisher, thank you for being with us.
Our first passage today is from 2 Timothy. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from all wickedness. In a large house there are utensils, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. And that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that it be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of the scripture. You may be seated.
Thank you. It's such a blessing to see you all gathered this morning in the name of the one who calls each of us the beloved. It's my joy and my honor to be here at the Church of the Resurrection. It's a gift to me, and I'm most thankful to Pastor Hamilton and his administrative team of this church for the opportunity to come and share the Word of God, the gospel of truth, all in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand with you today as we place ourselves under the authority of the Word and through the Holy Spirit seek the counsel of God, that we might leave this place as disciples equipped to change God's world. As we say back at home in our church worship service in most of our churches, the leader will say, God is good. And the people say, oh, y'all know, all the time. Can we do it? God is good. God is good. And all the time. You got it. You got it. It's just a blessing to see you this morning, to fellowship with you, and to connect with you in the Spirit. I want to be preaching. I am preaching from our theme that we've chosen this week for our time together. Disciples, chosen vessels for the Master's use. We sing the song, we start singing this song when we're very young, many of us, if we're in churches brought up in our traditional Methodist church. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now, if you're over 60, you know it. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him. In his presence, daily live. And then we go, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all. Masters, chosen vessels fit for the Master's use. Vessels chosen by the Holy Spirit to become vessels or to be vessels for Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit might work with and in and through us. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 3-8, we find these words. You shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall receive power from on high. And the mandate was to the church gathering at that time, in order to receive this power, you've got to spend some time in the presence of God. And so the command was, go to the city of Jerusalem. There is a room there. I want you to take time to pray and to indeed engage in conversation with our God. You see, my brothers and sisters, what this means to us or says to us today, that no leader in the New Testament church made a good decision without the direction of the Holy Spirit. To be chosen means that I have a worth. You have a worth. Every believer has a worth that Wall Street cannot give or take away. Everybody knows the pain of being chosen for the football team, the bigger church, the position that you had been waiting for. But just think, God chose you. God chose me. God knew us, the scripture says, even in our mother's belly. I didn't write it, the scripture says it. God had a plan for each of us, a plan to give us a future with hope. God thought of us even before we were born. Is that not good news? God has chosen each of us. I love the way Eugene Peterson expresses this truth in the Message Bible. It's a Bible that's used much in our churches today for the generations that are of the boomers and busters and Gen Xers. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. God had already settled on us and as a focus of his love. Isn't that something? To be made holy, whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus. What a pleasure that is. And we sing the song sometimes. I know it used to be one of the themes for one of our radio preachers. We're all a part of the family of God. We are all a part of the family of God, chosen vessels for the Master's use. And we must understand, brothers and sisters, as we continue this scripture that Eugene Peterson goes on to say in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Listen to this. Long before, I have to say that again. God chose us before we even knew who we were. Your mother said you was going to be this. Your dad said you're going to be something else. But God had God's hand on you. And God said, this is my vessel, my chosen vessel. We, it's our job and our gift to indeed spread that message and share it to a world. Share it with a world who's lost and broken and hurting. A world who does not know whether to turn to the right or the left. A world, some folk are saying, is going to hell in a handbasket. A world that does not understand God's provision grace. It's our responsibility as vessels of the Master's use, those who have been imparted God's grace and God's spiritual gifts. God is saying to us, I've chosen you. I've called you. I've made you mine. Now go into all the world and declare my love and my grace to all that you meet. Yes, we are chosen. Before the foundation of the earth, God has had us in his mind. We are chosen even as we go through life's journey, making sometimes mistakes. God still says, I love you with an everlasting love. And I love the verses of Peterson's writing in Ephesians 14, verses 11 and 12. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs for us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out, he's working it out now in us. God is not through with us yet. He's working it out in everything and everyone. Brothers and sisters, we must remember that God has called us to be God's church in God's world. And I have come to declare today before you that God's call is indeed greater than General Motors. God's kingdom is greater than Disney World, than IBM, than Microsoft, than Apple. God's kingdom is never up for a vote. He said that my church standeth firm. I have indeed called you to be a people, and I am your Lord. And you're my chosen ones. Again, he says that. Do you not know you're chosen? Do you know you're special? I wonder, this is the second service. I don't know how you are, but I just wonder if you'll just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Fisher said you're special. Do y'all talk to each other? You are special. Now, I couldn't use that language when I was teaching special education. I couldn't use it. I loved my children. I couldn't use that language. And I hated for someone to come to the door and say, is this the special ed room? Until I went to the principal one day, I said, Lance, take that sign off the door. My kids are no more special than the rest of them in this building. If you're going to put it on my door, put it on everybody's door. We are all special, special to God. And because God so loved God's world, God has deposited into each of us gifts and graces for kingdom work. We are no longer our own. We belong to God. Do you understand what it means to be chosen? You know that when you were going out for the team and nobody would take you, you guys and girls would do the basketball stuff and you were running and you expected the coach to say that you were good, you were all of that and a bag of chips, y'all remember? And when the call was made, you were nowhere in the group. Well, I want you to know, you might not have been chosen for one of those teams, for a sorority, for a fraternity. You might not have been chosen for the political arena in your community, but guess what? You are chosen. And the word says you are a royal priesthood. You indeed are set apart. You have been given God's gifts and graces, and you have the heart and the spirit of God because God lives in you. Being chosen and called is not a private religious experience that so we can just soak up sermons in a nice air-conditioned building. It is a launching pad to live out the promise of resurrection here and now. Jesus has more than our heart. Jesus claims everything within us. Jesus indeed possesses our mind, our spirit, our very being belongs to God. When we say yes to your will and yes to your way. The heart is a good place to start, but Jesus is Lord of all things. The problem today, my brothers and sisters in our world, is that we don't have enough bold disciples of Jesus Christ who proclaim their witness and testimony in God's world. I talked about that once in a Bible study, and one of the sisters came up to me. I said, you're to share your faith. God is deposited within you. You're chosen. You're set apart because you have made a confession of faith and given your life to God. And you are to share that faith. And she came up to me after service and said, Pastor Vi, my faith is private. My salvation is private. And I looked her in her face, I said, well, what did it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said, go into all the world and be my witnesses, share the testimony of my grace? That's a part of the mandate of believers. We are the voice for those who have no voice. We are hands for those who have no hands. We are feet for those who have no feet. We are the body of Christ at work in God's world. And you don't have to be affirmed by the administrative board committee. Your name does not have to appear on your program every Sunday. You know that you're a disciple and you have a responsibility to indeed bring God's world back to God. We don't all have the same gifts, but some of us, all of us rather have gifts. Some of us know what they are, and others are in the place of seeking God to know, what do you want me to be about in this life? We, my friends, have been called to serve. We have been chosen. We have been commissioned by the Spirit. And God is looking for the church of Jesus Christ to stand up and to be counted, because the world is hungry for a fresh word. And they're asking the church, where is the bread? Where is the bread? Where is the witness? Where is the testimony? I stand to declare, brothers and sisters, in this gathering, God said, I've called you, I've chosen you. You are mine, and I depend on you to bring my world back to me. Now, some folk would believe that the preacher is the only one who can do that. But did you not know the disciples were set apart? But it didn't say anything about any of them being bishops. It said nothing about them being district superintendents. It did not say anything about them being in the top leadership of the church or the movement. They were persons whose hearts had been strangely warmed. They had committed their lives to Jesus Christ, and all that Jesus said to them is, go. I have placed all that you need in you, my spirit, my love, my graciousness. Now go into the world and change the world. Being chosen, my friends, is a gift given to us by and through the Spirit. I want to say that it's our identity as Christians. The world knows that you are chosen. The world knows that you are a born-again believer. Oh, yeah, they hear that you come to church, but by the way we live, the life that we live, what comes out of this vessel indeed encourages them to seek the faith that we are understanding. And so here we are today, God's chosen, God's covenant people. God has not forgotten our special identity. God has promised to give us a future with hope. God has never failed to keep what God has promised, and God is saying with you, greater work shall you do than I've done. I've called you and I've sent you out as hands and feet to bring my world back to me. Yes, I pray today that the Church of Jesus Christ would wake up. I pray that the Church of Jesus Christ would stretch itself and spread its wings and say, here I am, Lord, use me. You see, my friends, because we are chosen and called and commissioned, we understand that there are responsibilities that go with that. And those responsibilities are indeed using the gifts and graces that God has given you. And it's a blessing to be at this church and to come into this fellowship and see so many disciples of Jesus Christ who understand who you are and what your calling is. And you're working out your soul salvation in the name of Christ. The church in general has become so self-absorbed that it's in the danger of losing our mission for the world. And the mission statement for the United Methodist Church on a whole is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Making disciples of Jesus Christ. How do I make disciples of Jesus Christ? I thought that's the pastor's job. That's the minister's job. That's the missionary's job. But Jesus said to those disciples, you should go into the world and make disciples, share your faith, tell others about my love. I am depositing gifts in you, the gift of courage, the gift of faithfulness, the gift of love. I'm giving you all that you need to let your light shine, to be me in the earth. I charge you. I wondered many times why the United Methodist Church chose this theme for the whole general church worldwide, making disciples of Jesus Christ so that the world might be transformed. I wonder so many times, do they understand that most of our people in our pews believe that it's the pastor's job, the clergy's job to transform the world? But Jesus said to the disciples, I'm giving you gifts, spiritual gifts. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. Get down from this upper room. You spend time in prayer and fasting, now get up and do something. That's what he was saying. And that's what the Methodist Church is inviting all of our people, lay and clergy alike, to do. To be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote this letter, the letter, my friends, that's been read to us today, He wrote the letter to the people, and he said to them, "I charge you, I give you a charge to go out into the world. I give you a charge to indeed share your faith. I give you a charge to build God's church in God's world. I charge you, church body," he said, "to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, transforming God's world." The story is told of a college professor on a large campus. While teaching a class in communications, asked each student to stand up and verbally give directions on how to get to his or her dorm room. All the students stumbled and stuttered on how to get to his or her dorm room. They stumbled. But there was one child who stood up, and all the child said was, "Follow me." Just follow me. Probably didn't know the directions, but knew that he knew how to walk the walk and talk the talk. And so I come today, brothers and sisters, because we are vessels, chosen vessels, set apart for every good work. And it's a blessing in this church to see so many vessels who have given themselves to God, have sacrificed their lives to the work and to the kingdom of God through the various ministries, through the various opportunities to serve. You are doing it. That's why God's favor does rest upon this ministry. Pope Francis appeared on the cover of Time magazine in 2013 as being the person of the year. And the article shared his words, and they're quoted, and it says, "He simply lives as a follower of Jesus Christ." That was all that he wanted published. Not that he was the Pope who visited the United States last week for the first time. Not that he was indeed one of the elect in God's favor and in the kingdom. Not that his church bows to him and honors him. But he said, "I just want to say that I am who I am because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And unapologetically, he said that. When just a few years ago, there were persons in our churches who were saying they are offended when one uses the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, United Methodist Church in the Northeast jurisdiction. The church sent a letter out. "We are offended when you use the name Jesus Christ because there's more than one way to God." Well, I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul, you in your everyday walk in life, share that same gospel because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you live and you breathe God's word and you live it out in your jobs and in the places where you indeed reside, in your communities. John Wesley said, "Do it so that the world might know." You see, the first task of the church leaders and the persons who are faithful and want to be faithful is to define our core values. Leaders must always remember that people suffer from memory loss, and leaders must constantly connect or reconnect persons to what it means to be a disciple and how we can live faithfully in a world that's going to hell in a handbasket, some say. A world that's confused, a world that seems to have lost its way. I contend that if the church and the leadership of the church does not rise up, then we're going to see some bad times ahead of us. Paul wrote this letter and he said to the church of Philippi, It seems that two women were fighting and fussing over theology, who's this and who's greatest in the kingdom. And these sisters had gotten into a big tart, a bit fight. And Paul said to them in two sentences, he said, I want you to understand that you are not your own. I want you to understand that you have been bought with a price. I want you to understand that you are a part of the body of Christ and that you cannot destroy God's church because the church belongs to God. It's so easy, my friends, to get as leaders for us to get caught up in doing things for the sake of the image, and that's what they were doing. They were trying to be the greatest among all. And he spoke to them and said, unless you become as a child, you won't even see the kingdom. I'm saying that, my friends, because in our church called United Methodist, we have indeed begun to talk about the foundation of our church, Jesus Christ. And we are now preaching the message, all of us are vessels, not just the pastor, not just the elder, but we're all vessels to be used in kingdom work. And that's why this church is so well known around the world, because red and yellow, black and white, old and young, children, middle age, not so young, have a part in the ministry. This is what God's church looks like. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to know that God had God's mind on you even before you were born. And God predestined that you, the church of God, would become strong and would become a part of the witnesses in this world. And so God gave you what God needed, you know you needed, to indeed change this society and this world. I stand today and I ask the question, do we really understand what it means to live our lives in holiness, to walk the walk of sanctification, to be truly hands and feet and legs for kingdom work? Do we really understand what it means to be set apart as vessels? You have vessels of gold and vessels of silver. You have vessels that you have to clean periodically, don't you? Some of you who do the communion elements, well, now you don't have to because we buy them already packaged. But there used to be a time those sisters would clean those communion elements and scrub them on Friday and Saturday and prepare them for the communion table. Well, you not know God is saying, you are my vessels, and every now and then you've got to be cleansed. Every now and then you've got to go back. Every now and then you've got to rest and bask in the presence of God. Every now and then you've got to turn your prayer life up. Every now and then, we've got to ask God, Lord, do it again. As I look at this text and I see Paul talking to them and saying to them, do you not know that your body is the spirit, is where the spirit of the Holy Spirit, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul the apostle said, I don't want you to get caught up in the church around wars, word wars, and who's in and who's out. And who's not this and who's not the other. I just want you to be the church that changes everything. And so I come today to declare that we have a unique job now, especially in this part of the century. God said, I knew you. In this part of the century, God knows us. But there are those out there, God knows them, and they're looking for a way out of their situation. They're looking for a way in. If the church does not have the answer, if our vessels are not ready to be offered, if we are not embracing the gifts of the Spirit, if we're not walking in the gifts of the Spirit and the mandate to go and make disciples, if we're not being faithful to our individual call, then we'll wonder, we will continue to wonder why it seems that the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I hear the word of God saying, I knew you. Before you were born, I had my eyes on you. I had a purpose for your life. There was a calling on you before you were born. Did you not know that? And I had in place for you a mission. I had a purpose for you. And all that I'm doing and have done is waited for you to say yes to my call, yes to the nudge that's on your heart. Because you're chosen, it means you're worth something. It means that you have gifts. It means that you have an anointing. It means that the Spirit resonates within you. And I love the song, I have a story to tell to the nations. I have a story to tell to the nations. Chosen and called is not a private thing. It's a part of the community of faith because we are one body. And as we identify the gifts and graces, we're able to go into God's world and we're able to proclaim, but Jesus said, but God said. I pray, my friends, that one day the church would stop bickering and battering over theology around who's in and who's out and who ought to be in and who ought to be out, put out, as Pastor said yesterday morning. Pastor said that, didn't he? He let you know that our whole denomination, they're talking about a split after next year's General Conference. There's always the plenty to plan for a split, just in case the vote carries. But I believe that if the church would put their spiritual gifts together and stop complaining and rumbling about who ought to have a seat at the table and who should not have a seat at the table, I believe if we could go down in fasting and praying and seek the face of God and begin to walk together in a spirit of oneness and unity, I believe the church has the gifts to turn this whole thing upside down and downside up. I believe the church can come back as a full body, anointed by the Spirit of God. But we've got to be open to each other. And we've got to understand that the toe is no greater than the thumb. We've got to understand that the trustee in the church has no more power than the lay person sitting in the pew. We've got to understand that the preacher, though he or she proclaims the word, we are also a part of the family. And we live with the family and we work with the family because it's a body ministry. I declare today, my friends, that we have vessels of honor. We have gifts and graces that could turn the whole church around as a movement. But we've got to get out of our comfort zones. We've got to go out into the world and we've got to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. We've got to go out and tell the world that it's time to be holy. It's time to spend time with God. It's time for us to indeed embrace the fullness of God's people. It's time for us indeed to understand what it means to serve this present age. That's what the writer's talking about. Not a denomination, not a church sect, but the body of Christ being the body of Christ, the church being the church. And that's what I'm preaching about today because I remember how the splits have come. I remember how our churches feel that there's no hope. But as long as we belong to God, as long as the church seeks the hand of God and the face of God, I believe that the church will live on. Yes, we are vessels. And don't let anybody tell you that you're not worth anything. Don't let anybody make you feel less than. You have gifts that we need. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And God has chosen each of us for every good work. Yes, we sing the song, and I'm getting ready to close. I have decided to follow Jesus. You used to sing that too? No turning back. No turning back. And another verse says, you can have the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And then somebody comes like behind them and says, all to Jesus I surrender, and all to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him in his presence. Daily live. And can you say the words with me of the next thing? The chorus, I surrender. Oh, do y'all talk in this church? We're not on air, right? Well, can you say with me, I surrender. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I want you to give somebody a high five. And I say, I've given it up. I'm giving it up. I'm going down from this place more determined to use my godly gifts for the advancement of the kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.